Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Today, my guest is Truth Seeker. Before I bring him on, just a couple of announcements. I am currently on a little road trip through parts of Texas and California for a couple of weeks, as you can see. But I will still be doing as many shows as possible on the go while I'm traveling, just with different backgrounds than usual. Of course, you can always get new episodes free on Rockfin, Odyssey, and all podcast platforms. Go check us out on Rockfin. That's where you get our premium content and every show from all the creators on Rockfin. Check out all the podcasts we're featuring on the Forbidden Knowledge Network. Go check those out at forbiddenknowledge.news. That's our website. And of course, follow us on Facebook. Those links are all in the description. You follow us there for show announcements, updates, and other important information that we post periodically. Today, I want to welcome Truth Seeker. He is a Christian mystic, best-selling author, visionary artist, seer, and songwriter. He has released over 200 songs, each one relating to the subject of spirituality. His journey has brought him through research and experience with the occult, paranormal, Christianity, ufology, and the spirit realm. This has led him into many mystical encounters with God, angels, spirits, and many other supernatural beings. As the host of the Truth Seeker podcast, he has interviewed hundreds of experts and leaders in their fields of supernatural, religious, philosophical, and paranormal studies. His desire to help people embrace the reality of the spiritual world so they can walk in spiritual freedom in their lives. Truth Seeker, welcome. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm well, brother. How are you?
I'm very good. I really love the work you're doing with your show and the music. You've had many amazing guests, as well as some of your own. You've had some amazing personal, paranormal, and spiritual experiences that I'd love to get into with you today. And I love the message that you're bringing people with your music and your show, of course, but this is your first time on. I'd love for you to tell us a little bit more about your background and really what got you ultimately started down the path you're on.
For sure, for sure. Again, thanks for having me, man. Of course, means a lot. And I go by the name of Truth Seeker, and I do spiritual esoteric hip hop try to articulate my spiritual experiences and encounters through music. And then not only through music, it's really cool with the podcast, but it helps me to kind of break down those things that I would articulate in a poetic form. And then we can talk about those concepts in the music and things like that and long form discussion with guests or people who may be experts in those subjects. And I'm a seeker, you know, I go by the name Truth Seeker. So definitely a seeker at heart, still am, started out that way, but still am to this day. So to be able to have people on my show that I'm hungry for the information and knowledge to like pick their brain about their experiences and stuff. It's amazing. But, you know, I always tie everything that I do back to, you know, monumental things that happened in my life that were like were shifts. And at 4 years old, I had a sleep paralysis experience, waking up and having these beings or shadows or whatever they were laying on each side of my chest, pinning me to the bed. And so that was a monumental thing that, you know, shifted in me as a kid. And it, as I got a little older, it, you know, had determined what movies I rented at the movie store and what stories we told at the campfire, telling ghost stories and sleepovers and stuff like that. And I would try to pick people's brains about that experience if they've ever had one. And so you'd hear people talk about, yeah, my dad saw one of those things and it ran out of the room. And yeah, I've got one that comes in my room and it visits me every night. And you hear these weird stories and stuff. So that really, you know, I trace everything back to that first encounter, you know?
That's really cool. Now, when did you start to realize other things like maybe the social and political environment that you're in is not exactly what they're making it out to be in our history? Some of the things you learned in school may not have been what we've been told. When did you start making that realization and shift?
Well, I believe mainstream media. I think they're telling us the truth. So I don't know what you're speaking. Man, I want to say for me, what opened the door? It was a bunch of stuff at once, you know, and Alex Jones was creeping in there for a lot of people early on. But Loose Change, the documentary, it really shifted something in me because like I was able to see, even from a religious perspective, and a, you know, what the mainstream narrative is telling us about our enemy, which is Muslims, you know, and we got to see, and I saw the humanity in those people as we're raiding their homes and going into their territories and kicking their door down and tying them up and throwing their wife and children around, because they pretty much brought video cameras in that they were filming it. So I remember watching that and then finally seeing myself in those people, like in those Muslims that we were told were our enemies. I was a Christian. And I saw myself in that with compassion of like, hey, what would I do if somebody was kicking my door down? And so a lot of this stuff started making sense. Even some of the extremist stuff that's going on, like, wow, what if we had the Chinese government and military at our stop signs, making us get out the car and searching us and messing with us and stuff like that? It's like, what would we do? So it really showed me empathy to put the shoe on the other foot. So that that documentary was huge on, you know, opening the door to, you know, that and Alex Jones. And then even with like nationality and, you know, who are the who people are, you know, of the Bible. I started doing like a study on, you know, my Native American heritage. And so, you know, hearing what you're told, you're savage. You guys are savage. You guys had to be taught. You guys had to be trained. And that's with Indians and even, you know, Black people and Africans and what I've heard about them. And so finding out that even that, those main narratives had different backstories and stuff. So that was, I want to say 2007, 8, 9 was, I was, you know, listening to Rage Against the Machine and tapping into Immortal Technique and all that stuff. And it really, it shifted things for me for sure.
Definitely. And you mentioned this kind of invisible enemy that we always have to have. You know, we always have to be pitted against something so we don't realize who the true enemy is. We got the war on terror, and then we have the war on COVID now. There's always some kind of invisible enemy that we have to have. And it, like I said, it keeps us from looking at the real enemy, which are the ones in power. And they've done a lot of things to keep us doing that. And one of the big things I wanted to discuss with you, one of the techniques that they're using, I believe, is weaponized music and media. I think that they've been doing that for a very long time, with everything hitting us from all angles, music, movies, television. When did you start to kind of realize that some of the media and music that we were being fed is not really healthy for us and somewhat, I believe, weaponized?
So I guess I started to understand that as being a huge music head with music and using it to cope and vent as a teenager, you know. But through my experiences and my journey, I became a Christian in 1998, fell away from that, got really big into the occult for 2 years and about lost my mind. And I came back to the faith in 2000. So when I did that, you know, I'm going to church and I'm trying to be a better person and do good and help people and stuff. But I remember, like, I still had these lyrics to these songs that would play over and over in my head. And I mean, songs about robbing people, about, you know, killing people. And they were just, they were stuck in my head and I couldn't get them out, even though, like, I wasn't that person anymore and I didn't entertain that stuff. It lingered. And these lyrics and stuff. So that's when I became aware of it. Like, okay, I got to be careful of what I'm listening to, what I put between my eye gates and my ear gates, and I let in into my soul and into my spirit. And so early on, like 2000, I would say this was like, hey, I can't be entertaining this stuff anymore because it becomes my reality. And it, you know, what you put in comes out. So I understood that then and started listening to like Christian music or Christian rap or Christian rock or whatever, trying to find like alternatives of that music that had a better message. You know, it was about love and light or helping people or versus killing people and anger and hatred and that kind of stuff, you know, cursing and stuff like that. So I was sensitive about 2000 for sure with that.
Definitely. Now, I want to go back to some of your personal kind of paranormal experiences. You mentioned the shadow people. Have you had any other profound or significant experiences that you'd like to talk about or anything worth mentioning?
Yeah, I mean, so many, that I've either been privy to or cursed with. I don't know. I look at privy, you know, but it's led me to be the person I am today, you know. And so that one in when I was four, and then there was an encounter where I was being taught by a warlock, and he took me and a bunch of the neighborhood kids under his wing, and he would open up his house and have these huge parties and stuff. And so
so this was just a self-proclaimed like warlock in your neighborhood or something?
Yeah, he just studied. Yeah, I call him warlock because in my head, there's another level of, hey, we're Wiccans or we're witches. And this guy's like, I'm in touch with entities. You know what I'm saying? And it was real. He can make stuff happen. So for me, the warlock is like, he never said, hello, I'm the warlock. Like, I'm calling him a warlock. I'll say that. Because he was in touch, he was in tune, and he used to teach us, and everybody would be over there hanging out and having parties and stuff like that. But I would be picking his brain all night about the occult and about working with entities and what's real and what have you seen and stuff, essentially doing what I do on my podcast with this warlock who would teach us spells and rituals and stuff. And he'd just tell me all of this stuff, and it would build my interest or whatever. And so I ended up having this encounter a few years later with him, where I was stealing a bunch of stuff out of the from friends. I was living out of town, and I came back to town in Alabama for the weekend, and I stayed with one friend, and I was going to go back home in Louisiana, 2.5 hours away, that Monday morning. My mom dropped me off. I stayed.
We're at Louisiana because I'm from Louisiana too.
Hammond, Ponchatoula.
Okay, I was from Houma.
That's where I'm born in Houma.
So, oh, wow. Yeah. That's crazy, man.
Well, dude, that's where the sleep paralysis experience happened, was in Houma.
Wow, that's crazy.
Louisiana got some weird energy, bro.
Oh, yeah, you know, sure does. That's why I had to get out of there, man.
Me too. Yeah. I don't go back.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she dropped me off back in Alabama, and I stayed with a friend, and I had a duffel bag, and we stayed one night, and it was me and my cousin. And I stole from them. I stole video games and t-shirts and CDs and stuff. And that was one night, Thursday night. Friday night, stayed with another friend, did the same thing. Saturday night, my mom's coming Sunday night to pick me up. And I got a huge duffel bag full of clothing and CDs and video games and all kinds of stuff. And I can't wait to get back because I'm going back to Louisiana. And we lived in the woods. We lived in the country. So I was going to be entertained with all of this stuff. And my mom's car broke down. So she called and said, hey, you need to find another place to stay. I'm not going to be able to come get you till Monday. Okay, I'll go stay with another friend. And then same thing Tuesday. And you need to find somewhere to stay. And I was like, I'd stole from all the friends. So I was like, I can't go back over there with this duffel bag. So I stayed in with a friend who lived across the street from the warlock. And I hid the duffel bag in the closet and also stole from them. But I put a bunch of clothes and stuff on it. So when my mom eventually comes, I run across the street, get the bag. Hey, see you guys later. So she never showed up. So we stayed with the warlock one night, you know, and I asked him if we could stay there. And he said, yeah, you can sleep on the couch. And it was a huge party. So we slept on the couch. And next night we had to find somewhere to stay. So I stayed with my girlfriend in her treehouse. And it was probably a mile away from the warlock's house. And so we snuck to her treehouse, and she was living with her parents and stuff. And they came and spent the night with us. And then same thing. It was like Wednesday. My mom still hadn't showed up because the car was messed up. So we tried to stay with the warlock again. And she's like, I'll come get you tomorrow. And we go over there. And when I stayed with the warlock, I stole a video game from him. I stole Dungeons and Dragons Nintendo video game for Super Nintendo or whatnot. So we're hanging out over there, and there's this tons of people, man, probably 40 people. There's just kids and just folks everywhere. It's a party, open house. And so I'm sitting down in the living room, and they're lighting up a joint. Me and my cousin, I think I was 14, 15 at the time, something like that. And there's all these different dudes that I'd never seen before. So this guy, we called him Pops, and he was like in his late 40s. And there was a bunch of other guys there wearing all black, and they were all older people there with the kids having a party. And I'm sitting down across from them in the room, me and my cousin. Somebody lights up a joint. I was like, okay, we're going to smoke a joint and hang out. And I'm looking, somebody walks through the door. It's my friend. Another friend walks in with the Dungeons and Dragons video game He walks in, I see it, and he hands it to Pops, the warlock. And he looks at him and says, okay. And I'm sitting there like, oh God, because they're in the gang involvement. Like they're, I thought we're going to get tied up and get tortured and stuff. Cause they're like into some really dark witchcraft and mixing it with gang activity.
Yeah.
Reading the Bible upside down, wild, far out stuff. So I'm like, oh, this isn't good. Pops gets up. He walks to the back of the house and he walks down a long hallway. And I was like, oh God. And then the other guys get up one at a time and they walk back and they leave us in there. Me and my cousin and all the rest of the party's going on. And I looked at my cousin. I said, hey, bro, we got to go. He said, why? What's up? They're fixing a lot of joint. I said, we got to go now, dude. Like, we got to get out of here. He's like, why? I said, they just found the damn game that I stole. We got to go, man. So we get up and walk outside. People everywhere. There was some guy talking to these girls around his vehicle. I said, hey, man, can you give us a ride down the street? He said, yeah, sure, jump in. So I get him to bring us back over to my girlfriend's house. So we're going to try to stay in the treehouse again, right? He drops us off down the street and we start walking up to the tree line so we can make a beeline to the treehouse without her mom and dad being in the yard or something, seeing us.
Yeah.
So we're hanging out around the bushes and trying to get a clear shot. And I noticed this light that was in her yard and it was going back and forth. And it stands out to me because I thought it was her dad out there with a flashlight. And then it just like floated off. And we watched it for about 45 minutes as long as to let the sun start going down. And I was like, we got to make a run for it. And so we go around the side of the bushes to this open field. And when we, right before we get ready to run, out of nowhere, this huge entity appears out of thin air. And I describe it being 8 foot tall and it looked like a camel. Or a horse, something really big. It came out of thin air, blacker than the darkest of night, ran past me and my cousin, knocked us both down, screamed, and then dissipated into thin air when it knocked us down.
Holy shit.
So we get up, we go, what the hell, man? Freaked out. And we ran and made a beeline for the treehouse. So, you know, me being a teenager into the occult and into this dark stuff, you'd think that's like a warning. Hey, man, stay away from this stuff. But for me, I'm like, that was cool, man. I want to learn how to do it. And so yeah. That's when I started getting even deeper into the occult, you know, because I knew it was real now. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I want to learn to summon entities to go out and get
a huge camel. That's crazy, yeah. Man.
Like, you know, people who have stole from me and wronged me. Send an entity over there to wake you up in the middle of the night, you know, that kind of stuff. So man. That experience took me deeper of like, let me get every book I can find and let me do the rituals until I make contact with these entities or whatever it is that he did. And several months later, ended up coming back to his house and like apologizing and said, hey, man, I'm sorry for stealing from you. And but you got to tell me, what was it, man? This thing, like he started laughing and saying that, yeah, I had a protection spell on my belongings so that anytime somebody would take something off of my property, these spirits will go back and get it. And they went out to torture you. So yeah, they got up and went to the spell at the back of the room house and did a spell ritual to summon an elemental spirit to come and torture and torment me. And the next 7 months of my life, it went downhill quick. I started opening up my life and my mind to these entities trying to make contact and stuff. And they ended up like opening up a portal. It's like none of those rituals I did worked until they all worked at the same time. And they would pull me into trances in mid-sentence with my girlfriend. And I'd get real pale and can't breathe and my heart would start racing and I'd just be frozen. And I'm seeing stuff and hearing voices and spirits flying around and they're speaking foreign languages and stuff. And that's when everything got real. I started going schizophrenic, hearing voices, seeing stuff. I couldn't look nobody in the face, going out to order fast food. None of that. And so that's when everything, I hit rock bottom and I was like, I'm going to be in a straitjacket. Try to get help.
You said it was a series of like rituals over about 7 months that you were attempting to do.
A couple months. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I tried to do them all. Yeah. To see which one worked. And like we get the book, we do the rituals. It wouldn't work. So did we get the other book, you know?
And then to say, there's some fucking danger doing that. You know, you always hear about, have to have experience. You have to have great intent and know what you're doing.
Yeah.
But if you're doing stuff like that, that can't end well, apparently. Right.
Yeah. The energy, you know, that I was dealing with was the lowest of the low. drug dealers robbing, cheating, stealing from people, lying. Like, there's energy that you put out. And I feel like when you tap into the spirit world, you get to greet those entities on that level of vibration of what you're doing, you know, in your life. If you're helping people and you're being a good person, love and light, you consider others over yourself. I woke up seeing how I can rob people, looking out the window, seeing if they're gone yet, so we can go in through the back door or go visit somebody and say, hey, I got to use the bathroom. And when we go to the bathroom, we're looking for your weed and money stash, or we're unlocking a window. So when you go to work, we could just open it and jump in. Like, that's how my mind was programmed. So when I did peer into that realm, I got to see the entities, I think, that I was entertaining, you know?
Man, that is insane. So could you tell us a little bit about the process that you did for yourself to bring yourself out of that?
Yeah. Again, like I said, if I felt like if I was to call a doctor or something like that, which I felt like I needed to, like, my body was insane. Like, I had to make myself breathe at certain times, and my mind just racing, thinking everybody's out to get me. Extreme paranoia and person. I was highly sensitive and highly psychic, so I could feel so much stuff, but it was all negative. Like, there's realms that exist where that realm that I entered, there's polarities. Say we start off at zero when we're born, and then you can go up or down on that spiral. And so I went down maybe six levels or something, right? On the opposite of that, negative six was that realm where demons are pulling you in trances and speaking to you. But I think that there's a realm in the positive six where angels are pulling you into realms and like showing you numbers and signs and positive stuff, you know? So it was bad. It was very bad, and it's real. Not everybody knows about that. You know, it's not as, you know, glamorized, but I didn't want to, you know, call the doctor. You know, I know I'd be put in a straitjacket or something, you know? So I ended up like opening up the phone book and calling churches, because I had been a Christian a few years before, and I knew this beauty and peace that I had in my life at one point, you know, solace, man, and peace. And so I longed for that. And I knew that was the only thing. I think everything that I did was like in a response to the opposite of Christianity. You know what I'm saying? Of like being a Christian, now I can't be that. So everything that I do is like in a response to the light, right? Almost like Satanism is a response to Christianity. It's not original, right? It just comes from, we're going to respond to that. So I ended up opening the phone book and calling like 15, 16 churches. And I left frantic messages on the answer machine. Hey, my name's Derek. I feel like I got demons in me and I need help. Can you pray with me? You know, on the phone. And one church called me back, you know, and a guy called me back like the next day and was like, hey, man, we'll come out and come see you at your house and pray with you. I said, thank you. I really appreciate that. And literally the pastor came over and prayed with me. I was having an episode the night before. I was coughing up blood and going in these trances still. And I got my girlfriend to pray with me, and I felt a little bit better. Woke up the next morning and threw away everything, like all the idols, all the posters, the music, anything that represented darkness and you know, depravity and stuff. I got rid of it all the music and stuff. We took all our books and brought them to the pawn shop or the witchcraft store. And I stole all the books. Like, I had 40, 50 books and I stole them all. So you're talking about the energy. Yeah. That's on that stuff, you know? Man. So you steal the book and then you do the ritual in it. It's like, hey, how'd you get the book? Did you pay for it? Like,
right.
No, wow. I stole it. So you're here illegally, kind of thing. And, but anyway, we got in the church and started going to prayer meetings and ended up moving back to Alabama. And that's where I was a Christian the first time and going back to a good church. But it was a long process, man, of like being in a room with people, but not being there, like your head is somewhere else. Or I felt like I was even like projected out of my body. Like, I didn't feel like my awareness was here. I felt like it was like up here looking down at people, or like watching myself in conversations. And, you know, the psychic senses were so high that I couldn't even control them. Like, it's paranoia. It's schizophrenia. It's a realm of psychosis, but for the darkness, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a beautiful psychosis as well, where the you're not paranoid. The opposite of paranoia, where you think the universe is out to get you and demons are coming for you and people are trying to hurt you. There's an opposite of that. It's called pronoia, mm-hmm. where you think the universe and God and the demons or the angels or people are out to help you. Like, that's a realm that you can carry and walk in as well. So
yeah, it makes me wonder how much like mental illness out there is actually people experiencing these realms and being misdiagnosed as having mental illness because they've dabbled with drugs or darkness or the occult or anything like that maybe a couple times, and it drug them down there. You know, it's very possible.
For sure. I mean, you know, obviously it's hard to say across the board for every situation, but it's definitely a lot of people's story. That they open up doors that they can't close, and they don't know how to deal with it. And they don't know who to talk to. They don't know who to turn to. And that's why, you know, I do put my story, myself, my music, podcast out there for, you know, I try to be what I needed when I was that young person, you know, whether it was going through the darkness or even on this side of spiritual awakening, like even outside of Christianity, once my, you know, experiences kind of came full circle and they transcended what was going on in the American church. It looked more like the ancient church, I'll be honest with you, because that's what I articulate. Mm-hmm. But you don't really have nobody to talk to. So that's what I've tried to come full circle to do, you know?
Definitely. And man, it's amazing that you were able to come out of that, and, you know, much respect for being able to do that. And you mentioned, you know, how people, a lot of them, you start talking occult rituals and things like that, and they turn away and they're like, BS, that's not real. But you have to look at a larger picture on this, because the people in control of not only our country, but probably our planet are into occult rituals. They definitely believe in it. They definitely practice it at the highest levels.
Yeah.
And they're definitely into, I totally believe, the darker side of it. And that's what they want to project on the planet is, I believe that they want to get as many involved in the darker side and lower the planet's vibration as much as possible. I think that's been an agenda for a long time. And so it makes it difficult for many people to come out of any type of darkness when you have these people kind of pushing it on you from all angles: music, movies, media, food, air, water. You know, it's all occulted and dark, and it's all twisted. And it's up to each individual person to kind of turn that around in their own lives. And that's what makes it difficult, because it's like an individual personal journey, you know?
Yeah. Everything's come full circle for me of like, but you know, early on, I had to shut every door. I couldn't be around it. Like it was a form of PTSD, you know, anything spiritual, even smelling incense that was burning, you know, that we burnt in ritual to pagan gods and stuff. Like I was so sensitive to that realm and so scared of what I scarcely made it out of. Like, I didn't want anything that I did to be able to open up that door for those entities to come back in my life, to like give them legal permission to be there like I did before. So at first I shut all that stuff. I couldn't be around incense. If I smelled somebody smoking weed, even if I heard music that I used to listen to, it would trigger me. You know, I was so sensitive to that realm. So it took me years to kind of come out of that slowly but surely, to be like level-headed on that journey. But yeah, I've come full circle now. So like all of those tactics and stuff that for sure, again, with the spectrum of -6 versus +6, where are you at in the terms of spiritual awakening or spiritual evolution or de-evolution, right? How many steps backward have you taken? And so all of it exists. So I've been able to return to a lot of the terminology, a lot of the ideas that I did in my youth that I did the wrong way, to be able to revisit it full circle, to do it in the light. And so for me, being like a Christian mystic, like I needed to see a lot of the stuff in the Bible, because I was closed off to all of it. Like, nope, you're gonna open the door to Satan and they'll get access to you and all this kind of stuff. But then like the more study and the more reading I did, I found that like, listen, like we're talking about the power of music. There's so many scriptures and stories about the power of music in the Bible, just about like King David would play his harp to King Saul, who was being tormented by evil spirits. And that was one thing for me too. Like when I came out of that stuff, it was really dark. And I was much removed. I would be sitting in, a restaurant with my wife out of town, and all of a sudden, like, I would hear everybody talking at once, and I'd get overwhelmed, and I'm trying to process everything they were saying and what they were thinking. And I'd start in a panic frenzy, and it's like that schizophrenia. And I had to get up and just walk out. Here's my card. Pay the tab and walk. I had to go sit in the car and put on beautiful worship Christian music to like let that wash over me and train my mind and stuff, you know. And so I read in the Bible where, like, you know, King David played his harp and he played this music unto God, and it would calm the evil spirits that would torment Saul. And so whether those are frequencies, whether that's the intention, like, you know, you have intention that you're able to send out through the vibrations of the music or the guitar, what that person's feeling is coming through the music. Mm-hmm. We know that music can be good, used for good or bad. And so if we studied the bad, then there's got to be the polar opposite has to exist. And I started reading about the power of music in the Bible and cymatics and sacred geometry and how, you know, it literally the tone of music affects the shape and vibration of the water. And we're like 70% water in our bodies, and finding all of these beautiful connections, even having biblical representation to say, okay, now I'm going to study music. Oh, psychic abilities. Listen, there was angels showing up and speaking to Jesus and the disciples, and they knew things about people in conversation that they would say, and it would trigger something that would cause them to get healed or find emotional, spiritual freedom. We've been told it was all demonic and all pagan, but it's like, all this stuff is in the Bible. And so it's like everything is a tool, mm-hmm. and your intention of how you use that tool makes it good or evil. Nothing is, you know, innately good or evil.
Right.
Even when it comes to those demons, like, I have a different relationship with them now. Like, I salute them, you know, for being protectors of the darkness. You know, say, hey, if you come down here, you're opening up yourself for us to come in and make your body our home, to make your mind our home. You listening to that music we're talking about, you're making your mind the home of lyrics that talk about killing people and rape and all kind of stuff, or music that's talking about how we can help people, how we can ascend, and how powerful and how loved we are. Like, everything is a tool to the person who is a hammer, everything is a nail, right? Mm-hmm. It's like the hammer can be used for building a house and helping, or it can be used as a murder weapon. So everything came full circle for me, and still coming to this day.
I want to talk a little bit about how you can have, just like you said, a relationship, somewhat of a relationship with these entities, even the darker ones. You said you salute them or give them some kind of nod of respect. How did you get to this point? And what is, there must be some kind of balance that you have to do with kind of communicating with these entities, because, you know, you apparently have spent a lot of time in the occult realms, and I've had a few contact experiences with what I believe are my spirit guides. And they've been very beautiful experiences, all, you know, very positive. I've gotten nothing but love from these entities, but I'm wondering, how would you balance a different type of relationship with a lower vibrational entity and keep that kind of distance, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it's just whatever you do. So I think it helps me to walk the fine line, to stay on that straight and narrow, to do good, to be honest, to give, to not to lie, not to cheat. All the things the Bible calls sin is like, listen, I'm trying to protect you from like dealing with these entities who want access to your life. Like, so that's what helps me. But there's a salute and a respect as far as like, listen, if I go back to my old ways and my old life, I'm opening myself up to them for everything that I do. So I think they were created with a purpose. There's a lot of people who have different ideas about demons. And with that being said, there's many types of demons and, you know, rankings, just like there are angels. So essentially, biblically, the word angel just means messenger. And so these beings that carry a message with them, they are a message. Their life, their existence is a message. And I think that these demons are messengers as well, that their existence is a message. Like, we're the cleanup guys for everything below this level. We get low hanging fruit. We can't go up to the higher levels because this is our realm of density. But if anybody will come to our level, then we have access to them. So once you're doing that stuff of the love and light, right? If you're you know, examining the motives of your heart, you're examining your offenses and your anger and trying to do the best you can to be a good person, like there's a level of respect that you get, and those beings don't get access to you. Now, they have a purpose, and it's the keepers of the realm. You have to have consequences. There has to be a polarity for everything that exists. There's dark and light. There's good and evil. There's yin and yang, up and down, left and right, A, B, select, start, right? There's all of that comes into play. And so there has to be, that's where the beauty is, that we get to choose and up and down this spectrum of light that at the lower levels, there are those beings, but they're just doing their job. You know, you can't get mad at the beings like ants are a nuisance, right? When you get ants that come in your house, or flies or maggots, like why did mm-hmm. God create maggots, right? Those are the cleanup crew of the earth. They're preservers of the realm of earth, so that when we waste, when something dies, right? Mm-hmm. These beings of insects come out of the earth and clean up the earth, and they feed on the dead things, and they go back to where they came from, and they're preservers. And I think it's very similar to the things of the spirit, where you have beings of a lower level that have a job to do, and their job is to maintain peace and maintain order. And I have to respect it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think everything has its place in the universe, and that there's a huge wide spectrum of life just beyond, you know, the spectrum of our own vision that we can't see, you know, up and including, you know, maybe extraterrestrials, maybe beings that live not only beyond our spectrum, but beyond our planet or inside our planet. Who knows? What are your thoughts on that? Do you think that there are other types of beings that we could be dealing with besides higher vibrational angelic beings and lower vibrational demons and other things between?
I think that everything exists. I think anything that we can think of exists, you know. So yeah, beings that live off planet and on other planets, and they have a routine and a regiment, whether they're physical beings, whether they're spiritually evolved beings, for sure. I've had a lot of encounters with, like I said, UFOs or aliens, what we call that. But a lot of that terminology for me has just been something to help me articulate angels, you know, the higher vibrational beings or whatever. So I know that things exist on different levels of vibration, right? I was introduced to the lower guys. And so wouldn't that suck for the story to end there? Like, you know, that's real, but the angels aren't. And when we're talking about fallen angels, right? There was like, it was only a third of angels that fell. So there's two thirds of the positive ones that are out there somewhere assisting humanity, either on a different realm or in another dimension past the stars, which is something that I believe in. So I don't have, you know, a lot of info of who they are and what their diets are. Now, I interview those people who claim to have, can tell you how the propulsion system of their crafts work. I don't know. I haven't been privy to any of that, but I have been, I would say, in communication with the higher vibrational beings, which we would call angels. Just like I was with the lower vibrational beings that we call demons, and they exist, and they fly in and out of stars and out of portals and out of the nebulas in the sky and all types of stuff. So I think that anything that you can believe or fathom is real, or it becomes real whenever you give it energy and attention. If it didn't exist before, now that we thought about it and now that we give it energy, then it becomes real to show itself to you. And I'm talking angels, entities, energies, and you begin to see it. You find what you're looking for. What you believe in shows itself to you.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I think that, you know, we create our own kind of tulpas and energies and egregores that come up out of our own thought processes, and could very well be real, especially if we have a collective of humanity that's focusing on same thing. That
the narrative.
That's a lot of power there. I want to go back to the powers of music for a second, because man, I've witnessed firsthand the power of music many times. I've had music heal me. I've had extreme stomach problems for many years of my life, and I've used music as a healing tool so many times. So I have witnessed the power of this and the profound power. I mean, I can be in extreme pain and nothing else will work. You know, no pharmaceuticals that you give me will give me any relief, but I'll put on a really good song that hits my heart and gets me emotional, and boom, I'm feeling great. And I can do this through meditation and contact with my spirit guides as well. But I love the musical aspect, because I love the fact that frequency in music has these powers that we, are barely even tapping into now. And I'm glad that more people are looking into the power of frequency. But this is something that could change our whole world if we could harness the power of music and frequency and healing and the things that come out of it, right?
Yeah. Again, I think we got to look back at the ancient world. You know, again, I'm mentioning little things that are encoded and hidden within the Bible. And then we're looking back at the life and legacy of Pythagoras, and their respect for music and for the sun and for the earth and for the stars and for everything. So I think it's all connected, but I would learn little things that I would hear over the years of studying like the Illuminati back in the day, looking up all the dark stuff and hearing about what they're doing in the music industry and the rituals and the symbols that they're using and inverting them and, the frequencies. So it's like, listen, let me do what they're doing, but flip it and reverse it for the good. If they're using negative tones and frequencies that lull you to sleep or, make you, drop your auric field or your barriers, let me do something that helps you to build that. And I would hear stuff about backward masking that were hidden in the music and stuff. And then I heard about them doing like chanting and like demonic prayers, like hiding that in the audio and stuff. There's a guy named John Todd. I know a lot of conspiracy people have heard of him, but I don't know if he was a fraud. I don't know if he was legit, but he had all of this information back in like the 70s and 80s, I think it was, maybe a little bit later, but about the Illuminati and about the music industry and what they're doing and how they do rituals and embed stuff in the audio. And so when I heard about that, I was like, shoot, let's do that for good. So I would have those tones in my music, either the intro or the whole time that the song is playing. And then eventually we would do prayers and chants and stuff like that and blessings that we would record in the music. And I like to say that as you're listening to it, there's prayers that are being spoken over you. And I say, you can't hear it because I turn it down. I say, you can't hear it, but you can feel it, right? When you're listening, you feel this beauty. So whatever the song is about, and it's got to be something positive with me, even if it's something dark or spiritual warfare, it is to help you overcome that thing. So I would kind of hide those prayers in there and pray over people. And they're just like, people are having spiritual awakenings by listening to my music and in tears and crying. And this is hip hop music, right? Music is very powerful, and it is a tool that we can use for awakening and evolution as well.
Well, since you mentioned awakening, this is a huge, thing that's occurring right now, especially since I think 2020, of course, but I think those in control are moving too fast right now and making a lot of mistakes. And it is leading to a lot of people realizing this and waking up, amongst other things. I think that there's an underlying type of kind of cosmic energy that's helping people awaken right now. There's people like yourself making conscious music, helping people awaken right now. There's people like me and yourself doing talk shows and bringing information to people. So there's all this going on right now, this collective kind of people coming online. It's like NPCs coming awake. I don't know if you saw Free Guy yet, but it's like that movie. And, we got everybody at the same time. Well, a lot of people, but there's also a portion of society that's that they're still working on, that that's still sinking to these lower levels, that's still buying into this stuff. And I think that we're already at a point where if you're not at least got that spark to where you're questioning things, you may not ever get there, you know. But we are seeing this collective awakening. We're seeing this collective kind of falling back. But where do you see this going ultimately? Do you think that we could reach a point where we realize that we don't need the system and the controllers to be free and happy, that they're the ones actually enslaving us?
Yeah, we're definitely headed that direction. Like you said, I mean, just, you know, we're making strides. I did a podcast the other day and we were talking about ascension and about where we're headed. You know, collectively we're ascending. We're passing the test. We're moving to higher levels of density, and I think we're being awarded new things, whether it's technology or things that are unlocking within us as we return back to some things that we once had, right? We're using it the right way. We're, you know, remembering. So I did a podcast the other day and I was speaking about this, and the girl who was interviewing me was kind of upset. And she was just like, I know you say this about awakening and this and that, but you know, we're still evil. There's still evil going on the planet, and our creators and what the government and what they're doing and what they're allowing. And I said, yeah, I know, but listen, you got to look at the good. Like to say this is not an awakening or an ascension, man, look at just in our lifetime, like slavery. Like it is, for even for me, it's hard to fathom that that was a thing. But think of our children. Like slavery was normal for like hundreds, if not thousands of years. Like, but we can't even fathom treating another person like that. Dude, if that's not an upgrade or the collective saying, you know what, we effed up, man. You know, we need to leave that behind. And we're looking at gay rights. We're looking at, you know, women voting. I mean, so much stuff, the way we treat animals, you know, agriculture and farming and stuff like that. And like, you know, there's an awakening happening. And no, it's not easy. No, it's not an easy transition. But when you wake up out of sleep and something's really loud and shocks you, which is what is happening. This is weird what we're in right now. So we're definitely on this ascension process, and every people across the globe are, you know, waking up, and they're choosing love and they're choosing compassion, and they're showing remorse, they're showing regret. And that's how an individual wakes up. They, you know, they are aware of the things that they were doing that was wrong. Even if it's their own diet and they're becoming vegan, it's like, you know what? I watched the PETA video and I'm never going to eat an animal again, because there's something with their conscience that's going on. There's this war of like good and bad, and mm-hmm. and the war is happening on the planet. But as we're having these spiritual awakenings, if enough people have it, which they are, I'm not special. Like this is, I thought it was just me. We all think that we're going through it by ourselves, but the collective all over the world is rising, and everything that we do to contribute to that is helping. So if what happens with us on a personal level, it's happening across the globe, and everyone is saying yes, and everyone is showing remorse and saying, hey, what can I do to right my wrongs? What can I do to fix my family karma that's jacked up? And, you know, how can I forgive my enemies and do those things, which, you know, essentially I would say Jesus talked about. He's showing us ascension. He ascended in the end, right? If everyone does that individually, then the collective does it as well. It is the micro and the macro, and it is totally happening. So just look at the things or the injustices that are going on now. Like that, it's weird for me to think about. It's like, what is it that we're doing now that's going to be weird in the future? And we're going to look back and be ashamed of ourselves as a people. Like slavery was normal. Like kids like grew up and, hey, you need to go clean your room. I can't wait till I get older and I get my slave to clean my room. Like that was normal thinking, like, you know, and so that's gone. That's out the window, right? Hopefully never to return again. And so we're able to deal with the next thing. It's like layers of the onion, hatred, bitterness. It could be dealing with the animals. It could be dealing with the people that we don't like, you know, homosexuals and gays and women, giving women or black people the right to vote. Like all kinds of stuff. So I'm excited about the future, man, and where we're headed and this awakening. But yeah, it will not come without resistance. Maybe that is this whole season that we're in right now with this sickness and everything that's going on. It most likely has something to do with it, to keep the people sick, to keep them scared, afraid, because that lowers your vibration. You're not going to take risk. You're not going to step out if they can control you with that. But we're learning stuff that combats it. And so we are the majority. They're the 1%. To think that it's the majority of the people who have chosen evil and the wicked people rule, man, that's the 1%.
Yeah.
That's a very small amount of people who have power, but now the people are taking their power back and they're seeing what they can do. So I'm very optimistic, but I know it doesn't come without its own set of struggles and tests. You have to pass the test to get to the next level.
Yeah. It's fascinating witnessing this kind of quickening of evolution of consciousness. And we are on, humanity is on a couple of different timelines. We've got one timeline where people kind of afraid and a more fear-based timeline. And then we have this positive timeline that a lot of people are on where they're just going about their lives and not paying attention to the negative stuff. And I think that's where we all need to shift to. I myself have witnessed the powers of positive thinking alone. Just that can manifest such beautiful things in your life. If you're just positive, if you're nice to people, if you do what you feel is right every day, man, that leads you like the universe, you know, it gives you a hug for that. It helps you along. Like you take that first step, then it's the right step. That universe will maybe take the next step for you and push you along. You know, you notice things like that.
For sure. Like I said, the difference of paranoia and pronoia. And so again, if that spiral exists, the spiral of ascension, of becoming light, those are frequencies of light. Those are seven spectrums of light. Those are the seven seals of the book of Revelation of how we ascend and how we bring light into ourselves. If enough people are doing it individually, then the collective is doing it. And things are unlocked. There's different levels. Other people may be on, you know, they've already ascended and maybe they're teaching us from the great beyond. I don't know, but it's definitely happening for me. And I know if it's happening for me, it's happening for others. And we can totally see that with you know, where we're headed and what they're trying to do. But yeah, positive thinking by itself, man. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so shall he be. Again, whatever you think reveals itself to you, whatever you believe in. So the scriptures say, set your mind on the things above. Think about heavenly things. If anything is true, if anything is virtuous, if anything is of good report, think on these things. And before all of this hit, beginning, you know, 2020, I was like, I felt a real tug in my spirit to stay away from a lot of conspiracy stuff. Don't let it pull you. And because I was in that, like the doom and gloom. I brought paranoia into my family and my wife freaking out, you know, about the Masons and the Illuminati and the symbolism and they're listening to us in the TVs and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And there's a realm that existed where you're super paranoid. And a lot of people are just now tapping into that level, you know, rightfully so, though. That is a level of initiation, a rite of passage, if you will, that now everyone is an expert at conspiracy theories. But for me, it is a level. Yeah. The next level is spiritual awakening, though. That was my level. Mm. That was like, hey, I can't change these people. I can't change what they're doing. I can't save the world. You know whose world I can save and who I can change? Me. And if I do that, then other people do that, then we change the world. There's a poem or a little story that's so beautiful. And when I embraced this in my life, it changed everything. So there was a man who is at the end of his life. And he tried to change the world. Right. And he wasn't successful at changing the world. And he was bitter in his old age. So he's like, man, I had this message and tried to change the world and nobody will listen. And he tried to change his country and nobody would listen in his country. He tried to change his city. They wouldn't listen. You know, he tried to change his state. They wouldn't listen. His family wouldn't even listen to him. He was a madman. And it's at the end of his life, he got there and he was depressed, but it hit him the epiphany that what if I started with myself instead of so gung-ho on trying to change the world, that if I would have started with myself at the beginning, then I could have changed myself. And if I would have worked on myself, then I would have had an impact on my family. And me and my family would have had an impact on our city. Our city would have had an impact on our state, our nation. And indeed, I would have changed the world if I would have started with myself. So this is what's happening, man. People are saying yes to their own stuff, owning up their own stuff. Everybody who projects and finger points and all of that, listen, that's a thing of the past. You really do have to point the finger within and say, okay, what can I do with my own power, with my resources to be a better person, to make somebody's day, if not their life better, if not the world better, their day better. Well, maybe not the day, that's too big. How can I make somebody have a good day? What about my interaction with them? When I see them, can I make them smile? Can I make them laugh and forget about their troubles? You know, so it's not about sticking your head in the sand and act like these atrocities and bad things don't exist. No, but it's like, what can I do, like, to bring forth change? And we do have the power to work on ourselves and to encourage people and give them peace in the midst of whatever storm or trial that they're going through or humanity is going through right now.
Definitely, man. Very well said. Now, to close out, I'd love to get your thoughts on the future of the music industry. Man, it's been turned on its head the past few years. Everything's changed. We don't have concerts anymore. We don't have live music. All the celebrities that we used to respect are kind of falling off and going downhill and being exposed for the kind of, you know, frauds and whatever they are and whatever they're into. But we've got a whole new future, kind of like a wide open future of music that's kind of unsure. We don't know what's going on. We know it's going to be mostly online and like YouTube and things of this nature. How do you feel about the way things are going and any thoughts about the direction?
Yeah, music is changing just because, I mean, everything's changing. The way the musicians get paid and, you know, again, can't do live shows. What can you do? You know, I started a Patreon several years ago for people to give them extra stuff and extra songs or unreleased music. Or if I'm working on an album, give them every song as soon as it's done, even if it's in its raw state. Like, hey, you guys are privy to this months before the general public. So finding creative ways to make a living doing what you love and is definitely part of the, you know, the music thing. And so now we're getting into this whole NFT music thing, you know, where people can buy rights and own, like, actually own your song. And that's the whole thing with like, you know, crowdfunded things and stuff like Patreon. It's like, listen, like, this doesn't exist unless you believe in it, you know. Music videos that we're doing, and people kind of pay with their attention and they pay with their money and they will give to what they believe in. So the model of, okay, we only get pennies off of streaming sales. Now, trust me, streaming sales are awesome and those pennies add up. Mm-hmm. But finding creative ways to be able to make a living doing what we love, and the rules keep changing, the laws keep changing. You know, it the cool thing is this, it's cutting the middleman out in the music industry. That you can, obviously you need a platform that can host your stuff, and whether you build your own server or whatever. So you're gonna pay people, you're gonna pay for hosting and stuff like that, but get creative with it, man. Like people, if they believe in it, they'll give to it if you ask them, you know? So that's what I've noticed in you know, what I'm doing and, you know, just coming up with beautiful ways to get the music and information out there to people and to let them know that you need help and let them know, listen, if you don't, like, for some reason with the quality and the stuff that I do in my podcast and all that back in the day, like, people thought I was making a lot of money or I'm like full time traveling the country because of the music videos and lighting and the quality of the music. It's like, there's no reason why you shouldn't be mainstream, because when I listen to it, I cry. It's changed my life. And what, you only make pennies off of your music? So yeah, just to own your story and put it out there for people and man, connecting with people. And if your music connects with people, they're going to find a way to support it. And so it's constantly changing, you know, online concerts. We're getting back to some concerts, you know, that definitely down here in the South where I'm at, they're doing a lot of, they just did a concert over 30,000 people at a country singer the other day locally. And it was insane and probably not a mask in sight. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
We just went and seen Metallica in Atlanta. I'm going to see Tool in February for sure.
Yeah, man, that's cool. Well, we are living in really fascinating times. I'm very interested to see what the future holds for everything happening. And I want to thank you, man, so much for coming on. That was great information. Before you head out, let everybody know where they can find all your music, your podcast, all the good stuff.
Cool. Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
Of course.
I enjoyed talking about this stuff and rolling ideas off of you as well. So
yeah, we'll have to do it again.
For sure. I'm down, man. They can check out my work, my music, podcast, all of that stuff is at truthseeka.com, truthseeka.com. And I'm on every social media platform. So just type in Truth Seeka and they'll be able to connect with me there.
Sweet. Awesome, man. Well, like I said, thank you again so much for coming on. I would definitely love to talk to you again in the future, man.
Thank you so much, brother.
Awesome. Well, until next time, everyone, have an excellent evening. We will talk again tomorrow.